This morning on a theme from an old hymn, and the title of the message is from that hymn. It just says, "Beams of heaven as I go through this wilderness below." Beams of heaven. Yes, indeed. Beams of heaven as I go through this wilderness below. You know, there's a rich fare in the readings today of how God leads us to greater trust in Him. There's a story of Abraham. Sometimes I think we get the story of Abraham a little wrong there. We're shocked and horrified by the story that God would say, offer your only son in sacrifice, and we struggle to understand that. But I think that what we're missing is the main point, which is that God has led Abraham to a place in his life where going up that mountainside, he could say to his son, who said, "Daddy, where's the lamb?" He could say to his son, "God is going to provide the lamb. I've been too far with God to know that he's not going to come through for us in this moment, son." Somehow in his heart, Abraham knew he wasn't going to have to kill his son, but God would come through. But how did God lead Abraham? I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but I just want you to know that God led Abraham in stages to get to that point in his life when he could say with all the confidence in the world, "God will provide the lamb." Yeah. And then we heard today in the psalm, again, another call to trust. What did we hear? It says that, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." I will walk before the Lord. What does that mean? He's got your back. He's got your back. He will indeed come through for you. And then we heard in the second reading, you know, why are we so worried about enemies and folks who are arrayed against us? Simply says here, if God is for us, who can be against us? He gave us his only son. Will he not give us everything else besides? Again, a call to come to that place where we can begin to so trust the Lord that a lot of our fears and anxieties begin to go away. And in the gospel today, I want to spend some time looking with you at how the Lord, if you will, lays a foundation in our life for the normal Christian life. And the normal Christian life is to be filled with love and trust and confidence and hope and joy, even in this difficult and painful world. You know, there may be trouble on the surface and we may have some emotional distress at times, but there's a deeper place where we can go that God has laid a foundation where there is a joy that the world didn't give and that the world can't take away, where there is a serenity and a confidence that is increasingly unassailable, where we are not easily rocked, our world is not easily unsettled by the struggles that come up, but we have that place to go with the Lord. And so it is that in this gospel today, we see some of the ways that the Lord lays this foundation for us so that we are not easily unsettled. So with that in mind, let's look at some of the ways that the Lord, if you will, begins to build for us the normal Christian life of confidence, trust, joy, and serenity and peace. Notice the first thing about this gospel. I want to just call it the paradoxical prelude. Because it's interesting, they're going to go up and they're going to see glory. Now we know that story, amen? We know how they go up on the mountain and they're going to see the Lord in all his glory. But church, in order to get there, they got to climb. It says here in the text, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain. A high mountain. Now, a few of us here have been to this mountain. Tradition says it's Mount Tabor. And let me just tell you, I've been up Mount Tabor. And I want to tell you, it ain't no little hill. It's a tall mountain. It's almost 2,000 feet high. And I'll just tell you that they have these special buses with special transmissions to go up and down that mountainside. And they got to go up on the rough side of the mountain, back and forth, winding way up. And these special transmissions, it's a hard climb. But we rode a bus. The bus had to do all the work, amen? But for Jesus and Peter and James and John, they had to climb a 2,000-foot high mountain. Are you praying with me? Do you see that this is no little hike? This is a tough, a difficult climb. You know, some of us get winded just going up a flight of stairs. These were strong men, right? Amen? They had to make this climb. But I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. It was not easy. But you see, in order to lead them to this place, to see the glory, the Lord has to first lead them through a climb. And one of the paradoxes of the way that the Lord lays a foundation for us is that He takes us sometimes through some difficult passages, through some difficult climbs, where life gets a little hard, where life gets a bit of a struggle, where we get a little winded, where we get a little weak and sore and tired. Are you praying with me again? Do you see the vision here that they've got to make this climb? And I'll just say to you that this climb is part of our life too. You know, we're going up sometimes on a rough side of the mountain. We're sometimes having to struggle. But I'll tell you, looking back in the rearview mirror of my life, that the Lord has often led me to struggles through struggles only to give me a blessing on the other side. I have come to find that sometimes I grew stronger by my climbs. I discovered abilities I did not know I had. I had to, if you will, accept the disciplines that come with life and the struggles and the trials. But I tell you, on the other side, oh, what a vision and what a glory. And you know, what are some of the struggles you've had to endure to bring in the blessings? Maybe it's all those years you had to spend in college, working a part-time job, trying to pay the bills, get that degree so that the career doors could open for you. Maybe it's when you were raising your children, all the struggles, I said the struggles of raising a child and trying to keep a marriage together, and Lord only knows all the struggles, amen? But then to finally see your child walk down the stage and get that diploma, and you got their bags packed so they can move into their own place. All right. Maybe it's, just something in your career and some of the ways you've been able to grow. And it took struggle. It took time. And you finally come to a place where you can say, you know, I'm starting to experience some of the fruits of my labors, some of the climb that I had to make. I'm starting to see now the vision. A church, I'll just tell you again, most of the things that we value in life come as the result of a climb, as the result of a cross, as a result of difficulties and disciplines. But oh, the view, when the fruits of our labor start to come in. Amen? So you see, again, the first thing we start to note is that there is a kind of a paradox, that in order to see better, to get a better view, a better glimpse of glory, in order to usher in the beams of heaven, sometimes the Lord has to lead us through a steep and a difficult climb. I have it on the best of authority that they were singing gospel songs on the way up that mountainside. Amen? They had to have been singing, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain, and I'm trying to do the best I can. Another song I'm sure that they had to sing, an old Mahalia Jackson song that says, as they look back and they said, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over. Or another old song that just says, we're climbing Jacob's ladder, and every round goes higher, higher. And you know, that's just the way you go up that mountainside. It's this sort of winding road, and you go back and forth and back and forth, and every round goes higher, higher, going up that mountainside. And so it is, church, soldiers of the cross, that every round, higher and higher. And so it is that Scripture teaches us so many ways that there is a role, there is a reason for trials, for difficulties, and for climbs. The Lord is laying a foundation, because I want you to know something. I've come to a place in my life where I'm more confident. I've come to a place in my life where I'm less anxious. I've come to that place, but you know the way I've come to that place is that the Lord has put me through some tests, and I've come to find out that the Lord has a way of making a way out of no way. I have come to discover that the Lord can write straight with crooked lines, and He can hit a home run with every curveball that I give Him. I have had to learn that, though, by experience. I've had to learn. The Lord said, let's do a little testing here, and to hang on and to hold out until my change comes. And so it is that this is one of the ways the Lord lays the foundation, by allowing us for a reason and for a season to go through some of these trials so that our faith may be strengthened. The text from Romans chapter 5 says this: we can rejoice when we run into trials and difficulties, for we know that they produce good in us. They help us to learn to be patient and to trust. And patience develops strength of character and helps us to trust God until more and more each time, until we finally realize that our faith and our hope are strong and steady. That's Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Again, this trials, these difficulties, if we're faithful, have a way of drawing us to greater trust, to greater hope, and to greater serenity. It's paradoxical, but the Lord has a way of pulling it off. Now, the first thing we've seen, therefore, in this way that the Lord lays a foundation for us to have greater trust and serenity and security, is the paradoxical prelude that sometimes we got to go through trials in order to come to be able to come to testimony. Yes, indeed, there is a test in every testimony. Now, the next thing we notice is some practices that are portrayed. Practices that are portrayed. We notice in this text that the following happens, that it says the Lord was transfigured before them. And then it says that Moses and Elijah appeared. And then it says that Peter says, I want to stay right here and pitch a tent. Now, there are three things then for our consideration, three practices that the Lord shows us that will help us to see this foundation of trust and mercy and hope and grace and joy come about in our life. And the three practices are these: that the disciples and us, we are those who see, we are those who are scriptural, and we are those who savor. Now let's look at all three of these practices. The first practice is the apostles go up after this climb and the Lord says, let me show you something. And all of a sudden, the glory that comes. Now listen, exactly what they saw and how it was, and this word transfiguration is one of those church words, and we sort of know what it means, but we don't. And don't worry about the details. I just want you to know the Lord says to them, let me show you something. Let me show you a glory, and I want you to just stop and watch. Now, what they do, therefore, is the Lord shows them this glory, and it says they are stunned by what they see, and they fall to their knees. They look at this glory. Now, again, what does that have to do with us? That was on a mountaintop 2,000 years ago. Listen, let the Lord show you glory as well. Now, you have to ask the Lord, though, for a gift, because some of his most exquisite glories, we just walk right past. We have a very strong tendency to be turned inward, looking at our shoelaces, and we're completely missing the color purple. Do you know the glories that God has on display for you day in and day out? The Lord is saying, would you please look at something for a minute? You know, there's an old saying in spiritual direction, goes like this: don't think, look. We're always analyzing, thinking, pondering, worrying. And the Lord says, cut it out. Would you just stop for a minute and look? Would you please look at what I'm doing? Church, we need to pray for a gift. And the gift is this. It's the gift, Lord, please give me the gift of wonder and awe. You see, we're such a bunch of geeks today. You know, we live in a very technical age, a very analytical age, and we analyze everything to death. And the Lord says, cut it out. Everything's more mysterious than you think. Do you really know what I'm up to? Stop. Don't think all the time. Just look. Now, church, every day there are wonders on display. You know, just ask for the gift. Lord, open my eyes to start to see the glory and the wonder that is on display. Again, don't let me walk past the color purple and not say, wow, wonder and awe. You know, the other day I was, on Thursday evening, I was out and I was just leaving a place to come back here, and I looked up and wow, that's all I said, wow. Because lined up in a perfect line was the moon, right beneath it, Jupiter, which is very bright right now, and then right beneath it, Venus, all in a perfect line. And the moon was a perfect crescent moon, and the dark side of the moon could also be seen in silhouette. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've done all things well. And church, have you ever just looked up and seen the stars? You know, on the East Coast, we don't really get to see all the stars. But you know, every now and again, I've gotten away from the city lights and on the East Coast. And one time I was in North Dakota, and it was 5 below 0. And we're out there and walking with a priest friend. It was frigid. It was a cloudless night. And I looked up and I said, what is that? And I said, well, the priest said, what are you talking about? I said, that huge cloud. He said, that's the Milky Way. Wow. I mean, we folks on the East Coast, man, we don't know what the ancients used to see before all this light pollution. I'm praying one day for all the lights to go out on the East Coast, just for 20 minutes. And if it does, run outside and look up. You will not believe what you will see. There are so many wonders on display. You know, my father, when he was a young child, he said, when I was a child, he says, all of a sudden, one day, I just got amazed by the fact that I exist. I exist! He said, I couldn't get past it. I just had to stop and think. And I've always to this day, my father told me years ago, he said, I've always to this day been amazed at the mystery that I exist. The mystery, the majesty of your own being, your own existence. And you know, the beauty and the majesty and the mystery of all the people around us, all the incredible and amazing things that God does, and all the ways in your life that He's worked marvelously and mysteriously and behind the scenes and in obvious ways and in less obvious ways. Beg for the gift to see. Lord, open my eyes to see your wonders. Help me not to be so analytical that I try to explain everything away. Let me just have wonder and awe at what you do. Oh, Lord, help me to see your glory. Your glory on display in all the beautiful flowers, the beautiful people I know, in the mysteries of your creation, in the majesty of all that you do, even just in the fact that I exist and the mystery that is. Why is that a mystery? Try to explain it. Try to explain what it means to exist and why you exist. A deep mystery, and God does all things well. All things well. So again, pray for the gift to see, to have your eyes open to glory. And notice again, the first practice there is though that we need to be those who see. And the Lord says, watch what I'm going to do. Just take a look for a minute at what I'm up to and let Him show you. And I promise you, you will start to see things you walk past all the time. I don't know what made me look up at those stars, but I just saw them and I said, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, not only are we to be those who see, but we are to be those who are scriptural. The text says that part of the way the Lord builds a foundation for trust and hope in our lives is that He lets us start to see the glory that He's up to. But secondly, the text also says that He wants us to be scriptural. Notice again, it says here that Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. Now, it's not just accidental or coincidental that those are the two who show up. Because Moses and Elijah, to a Jewish mind, means the prophets, or if you will, the law and the prophets. So that means, that's just a way of saying the Bible, the scriptures. Now listen, what does Scripture have to do with building a foundation for hope and confidence and serenity in life? Simply this, it's your story. And you know what's the nice thing? I'll tell you a little something about the Bible. I cheated the other day. I looked at the end of the story. Now I know we're not there yet, but I looked anyway. And you know what it says? It says, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. And everyone who's with him wins with him. Church, are you praying with me? Isn't it nice to know the end of the story? Isn't it nice to know that don't give up and don't give in, because with Jesus Christ, you're going to win. I want you to know something, church. You're on the winning team. And as long as you stay with Jesus, you're going to win too. Now, I know at times it may seem, how's that going to happen? It's fourth quarter, and we're on our own one-yard line, and there's only 10 seconds on the clock. But that's all right. Jesus is the quarterback, and he's got St. Michael in the end zone ready to receive the pass. Church, we're going to win. We're going to win with Jesus Christ. There may be trials, there may be struggles, but that's all right. I know the end of the story. In the end, Jesus Christ wins. You know, there's a lot of folks today that have tried to pronounce the end of the church. Oh, your church is in decline. Oh, you Christians, a bunch of old-fashioned ideas. You're going nowhere. Your church is just dying. Listen, I got news for you. The church has watched all kinds of civilizations and secular empires rise and fall in these last 2,000 years. The Roman Empire has come and gone. I tell you, Charlemagne has come and gone. I tell you that Napoleon has come and gone. I tell you that the Soviet Socialist Republic has come and gone. I tell you, the church has been standing through all these things. Don't worry. The church may decline in numbers. There may be struggles and trials. But I tell you, the church will endure, and Jesus Christ will never forsake us. And in the end, all of us who are with him will win with him. Now again, it takes faith, but I tell you, I promise you, because I read the end of the story. I know it's a little bit of cheating going on there, but I did read the end of the story, and Jesus wins. And so laying that foundation, Jesus says, please attend to my word. I did have to suffer, and when you suffer, I know what that's like. I tell you, I had my Good Friday, but on Sunday morning, I cast off death like a garment. I cast off death like a garment. I won, and I have the victory. And as long as you're with me, you do as well. So again, we have to be those who see. We have to be those who are scriptural, who know our story, who know what God has told us that the end shall be. And then we have to be those who savor. Now again, Peter says, I tell you what, Lord, let's just pitch some tents and stay up here forever. This glory is so good. I just want to stay here and savor it forever. Oh, church, are you praying with me? I'm with them. Are you? But you know, we know that Peter has to go down that hill, and he's got some trouble ahead for him. But we also know this, that it's a good thing that Peter wants to stay for a minute and just savor the glory. I pray that you will let the Holy Spirit anoint you. First of all, when joys are going on in your life, savor every moment. Savor it. Maybe it's the birth of your first child that you savor that memory. Maybe it's when you heard news that was so, what a relief when you heard the news that someone you thought was in trouble is all right after all. You just savor the moment. Savor it, church. Maybe it's when you were looking for work and you couldn't find work and you finally heard you got the job. And you got it with benefits. Hallelujah. And you just savor the moment and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe it was some struggle with your health and you finally come through. Just say, thank you, Lord. But savor every good moment and say, Lord, I'm just going to stay here and enjoy it. I'm going to do the Snoopy dance, and I'm gonna enjoy the glory that you're showing me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then say, Holy Spirit, put these memories deep in my mind and help me to remember them, because there are some dark days that will probably come to me. And Lord, on that day, let those beams of heaven just shine down, reminding me how good you've been to me, and that your mercies are not exhausted, and that you're still up to something good. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, because I'm so forgetful. I'm so ungrateful. I get all focused on the moment. I can get so negative so fast. Lord, help me to be like Peter. Say, Lord, I'm just going to pitch a tent and stay here a while. And when you do that, you see again, the Lord can do that for you. The Holy Spirit can put deep in your mind how good God has been to you. And even when you didn't think He was being good, you now know He still was being good. Let the Lord anoint you to know these things. Develop also an attitude of gratitude, where every day you spend a little time at the end of the day just saying, I want to thank you, Lord, for some of the good things today. I want to remember what you've done for me. And so you see these practices of, if you will, stopping, looking, seeing, asking for the grace to have our eyes open, to see the glorious things that God is up to, being scriptural, knowing our story, and knowing the end of the story, that we will win with Jesus Christ. And then, if you will, savoring the good things that He's doing in our life, and pitching a tent and staying there for a while. These are practices that the Lord says, if you will let me adopt them in your life, I tell you, I'm laying a foundation so that you will be a person of deeper hope, greater confidence, more serene joy, and gratitude. And so that when difficulties happen on the surface, you are deeply rooted and not easily unsettled by the storms of life. Are you praying with me? See, the Lord doesn't just say, oh, well, trust and be happy. He's giving us some instructions here on how to get to that place by His grace. Now, the final two things I got to go through quickly, because my time is almost up. And that is simply this, that we've talked about the paradoxical prelude that sometimes our trials are actually a source of our trust and confidence, especially after we've come through them, and that there are some practices that are portrayed. And then the next thing comes this prescription that is proclaimed. And the Heavenly Father just says, listen to my son. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Now, that's an important thing. See, what the Father's saying to us is, you know, if you would just listen to my son and base your life on his teachings, so many of your trials and struggles would go away, and you'd be less anxious, you'd be less fearful. The Lord would be doing such great things. Now listen, I'm just going to say this to you. I would say that 80% of the troubles in our life, I don't just mean our personal lives, but the whole world, are rooted simply in this fact that we are not listening to Jesus Christ and obeying His commandments. All the hatred, the lack of trust, the cynicism that drives people to division, to divorce, and to war, all of the unchastity and the sorrow and the sadness that's breaking apart so many of our families, all of the lack of care for the poor and the injustice, all of these things bring such pain to us, such grief and sorrow. And the Lord says, if you would just listen to me, if you would be more chaste, if you'd be more kind, more forgiving, more merciful, if you'd love each other and care for the poor in your family, if you would reach out and be less greedy and spend more time in prayer and focus with me, I tell you, so much of your trouble would just go away. And not just for us as individuals, but our whole world, church. And so the Father says, look, you want greater peace and confidence and serenity and trust? You listen to my son and start to base your life on his teachings. And I tell you, a lot of troubles are going to end. And even with the ones that don't, you'll have greater confidence and trust because you'll know my son has got your back. Now, the final, if you will, point I want to make about this gospel is not only that we see the paradoxical prelude and practices portrayed and prescription proclaimed, but also finally the persevering purpose of this gospel. You know, everybody agrees, almost all the church fathers and all the biblical scholars agree on this one point, that the Lord brought Peter, James, and John up the mountain to prepare them for the difficult days ahead. He wanted them to see His glory so that when they saw Him on the cross, they would remember, that's going to end. I've seen His glory. I've already seen what the end shall be. He's already shown me the victory. This is temporary. The glory remains forever. The Lord wanted them to be prepared, and He wants us to be prepared. But you see, it's interesting, isn't it? Did it work? Well, somewhat, not enough. One of them, John, did make it to the foot of the cross. Now, Peter and James, I got to tell you, they just ran off. See, they forgot the glory. They did not learn some of these lessons. They did not, if you will, allow the Lord to build that foundation so that when trouble set in, they didn't have that place to go that says, I don't know how, but this is going to be all right. But John did. And John made it to the foot of the cross. And he was there to support the Lord. And he was there to see the Lord die. And he was there to see him rise from the dead. You see, I tell you, brothers and sisters, John made it. Now, the question for you and me is, are you going to be John or are you going to be Peter and James? What are you and I going to do in a response to a gospel like this? Again, the invitation the Lord is making is that the normal Christian life is to be deeply rooted in confidence, in hope, in trust, and in joy. And the problem with a lot of us is that we're running a temperature. And the Lord says, let me bring you to the normal Christian life. Let me, sometimes in paradoxical ways, help you to learn to trust. Let me show you my glory. Please look. Don't miss what I'm doing. Be rooted in my word. Be savoring of the good things I'm doing in your life and have them deeply impressed in your memory. And listen to me. And I promise you, I will lay a foundation that even if you get called to the foot of my cross, you'll be like John. You'll be praying. You may not know exactly how it's going to work out, but you know it will work out. In other words, says the Lord, would you let me take you up on the mountaintop and show you some beams from heaven? Would you let those beams of heaven guide you as you go? Would you allow that light to continue to shine in your memory? So I want to finish now by quoting this old hymn that I started with. It's a beautiful hymn, and it's got some important things to teach us, especially in the opening verse. It simply says this, beams of heaven as I go through this wilderness below. See, church, God's called us up on the mountaintop many a time to see these beams of heaven, to see the glory that he's up to. Don't forget the vision that he's given you. Beams of heaven as I go through this often wilderness below. Guide my feet in peaceful ways and turn my midnight into day. And when in the darkness I would grope, faith always sees a star of hope. And soon from all life's grief and danger, I shall be free someday. Oh, church, the song, the hymn goes on to say, I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for me, but this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall have peace. I shall get home someday. Let the Lord show you some beams from heaven today. The Lord has given us a kind of a plan. He's got his construction hat on. He's got the plans out. And he's building that foundation. I want to say I'm a witness. I am a witness. The Lord is laying a stronger and a firmer foundation in my life. I've told you this many a time, but I'll keep telling you because God's been good to me. And I can't not tell you that he's been good to me, you see. I got to tell you. I used to be so much more anxious and frightened. I did not have the kind of hope and confidence and trust I have. I don't tell you something I did. I'm just telling you what Jesus did. He is laying a foundation in my life. And today he just showed me some of the blueprints and what he's up to. And he can do it in all of our lives. And I know I am not the only witness in this congregation today that God is up to something good. And he can bring us to that sure foundation. Beams of heaven as I go. I say, beams of heaven as I go through this wilderness below. Amen.